In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you from the depth of our heart for this beautiful day. Thank you for bringing us here to your house. And thank you that even though there's no coffee, dear Lord, you're still here, and you're in our presence, and you're in our midst. And that's really the most important thing. Lord, I pray that as we kick off this new series, you would really give each one of us the message that we need to hear. And if some of us have been closed to your message before, I pray that you would really open our eyes and open our hearts so that we can receive this message and let it like be planted inside of us and bring forth fruit. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ. With the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can grab a seat. Okay, so like we announced before, is we're kicking off a new series today about boundaries. Okay, and before I get into the series, okay, we have a little introductory video that will help give you like paint a picture of what the series is going to be all about. So enjoy.
There you are, Mark. Running a little behind today, aren't we?
As usual. For some reason, my mom had to spend time with the kids last night, and I couldn't say no. So she was up with the kids till like midnight, and then after she finally left, I had to work on the presentation for Janice till probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and by the time I got to bed, I was so wound up, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, listen, speaking of presentation, you better get in there. That meeting started about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, and God, you're right. All right.
I've been looking for you, so.
All right. I'll be there in a minute.
All right, man. Well, hope things get better.
Try to stall them if you can.
I'll do my best.
Just a minute about what's going on with you?
Well, I was just about to eat lunch. Do you mind if I eat while we're talking? I mean, you can have
Listen,
a seat.
You're busy, dude. I'll just come back a little
later. No, I was just going to eat, but...
I don't have anyone else to talk to about this, man. You're like my own friend here.
All right.
But just take a minute,
come
I promise.
Come in, that's fine, that's fine.
Thank you. So, Wow, look at the time, man. Listen, I really appreciate you, you know, sitting there and talking with me, because...
I mean, I don't know if I helped. I mean, did I help
at all? I mean, kind of a complex situation to try to resolve it right now, but, you know, we can talk about it a little later. But I appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, well, stop by any
time.
No,
not much that means.
Stop by any time.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself, man.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to eat tonight. Hello?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
How's your day going today?
Just like every other day. Really busy.
All right. Well, listen. I need a favor from you. I need you to stop by Party City and pick up some supplies for Danielle's birthday party tomorrow.
You know, I got to work late today, and I there's a lot of stuff I need to get done today, and I was going to stay late tonight, so I don't have to work this weekend, so that I can get this presentation done.
Mark, please. I mean, really, honestly now, I can't be doing everything myself. Please try and go to the store for me tonight. I've been so swamped here with all the other planning.
Well, what time does the store close?
It closes at 6, and I think if you leave now, you'll have a lot of time to get there and pick up the supplies.
It's like 5 o'clock. Oh, all right, whatever. But you know, I'm going to have to work this weekend. So, that's the price.
That's fine, but the party will be over tomorrow by 2. You can go to work, and then we can go on our date later on after that.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
All right. Says here, go to the gym. Guess not. Go to the office. Once again, no gym. Great. All right, back to work. Lord, why am I dreading tomorrow? Didn't you promise me a life of joy? For the last time, dinner's ready.
Mark, you don't even set some limits with these kids. They don't respect our dinner time. They don't go to bed on time. They're having problems at school. But I guess you'd know that if you went to the parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah, I know. I know. I need to talk. Okay, I'll get them out.
Mark, it's dinner time.
I'm not answering.
Yeah, don't get it. Let's just have dinner, get the girls down here, and let's just eat.
But I didn't turn the machine on. It could be important. It could be important. I'll be quick. Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Mark, it's me,
Abel. Oh, hey.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm sorry to be disturbing you so late at night. Do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Hey, look, we're in a little bit of a bind here, and I needed your help with something. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Well, see, the thing is, I noticed that you signed up for this this men's conference, and originally, see, it was supposed to be planned by John, but, you know, with the baby and all that kinds of stuff, he's actually not able to do it. You know, too many commitments and things like that at home. So I was wondering if there's any chance that you could take over. And if so, I would like owe you eternally, and this would be like a great thing. And I can send you everything that you need because he's already started working on it. Yes, excellent. You are the man, Mark. I really, really appreciate it. God bless you. I'm going to send you an email instantly. It's going to have all the stuff that he's already done. All right?
All right. Okay. I'll do it. All right. I'll see you then. Okay. Bye. So, Sunday. No. Look, I'm really sorry. He was in a jam. I'll make it up to you. I really promise. I'll make it up to you. I'm sorry. Who did that? Okay. Kids, you really need to go to bed. This is the last time I'm going to stay. Okay? I don't want to hear another sound.
Gosh, Mark, this day's just been exhausting, hasn't it?
Huh?
This day's just been so hectic.
Hey, you know, I really need to work on this stuff, this presentation. So, can we talk some other time, please?
You know, I can't even believe you signed up to do this retreat. I mean, you seem so busy with work, the kids, just everything, church service. Are you happy doing all this? You just seem so exhausted.
Do you want to hear the honest truth? I haven't had a chance to think about whether I'm happy or not. I just got too much going on.
You know what you need? I think you need boundaries. I think that's just what you need, Mark. I think you need to have some boundaries.
Oh, okay. So, that's a great idea. So, you want me to say no to anyone anytime they come to me to ask for something, right? Just say no to everybody.
That's not what boundaries is about. You need to set boundaries with me. You need to set boundaries with the kids. You need it with work. You need it with church, service. Boundaries is not saying no to everything. It's just setting limits. So that way you can actually start doing things that you can enjoy. So you can balance your life.
Okay, if you think it'll happen.
You know, actually, I think Light and Life this week, that's what they're talking about. And I really think you need to go. I think you need to make some changes in your life. You don't have time to work out. You don't have time to do anything.
If you think it'll help out, okay? Can I just focus on this, please?
Okay, that's fine. But really, you should go.
Okay. Okay. So, like I said, and like the video said, today we're kicking off a new series about a topic that I'm sure all of you have heard the word boundaries at some point. Or now, there's a very famous book called Boundaries that was like a bestseller for a while. And the concept is one that a lot of us think that we understand. I thought I understood this concept of boundaries until I actually read the book in preparing for this series. And what I discovered is there's a lot of misconceptions about what boundaries are. Here's what we're going to talk about in this series. We're going to talk about, just like the title said at the very beginning, is our goal in this is going to be to take back control. Somehow, maybe I need control of this thing. I don't know if I have it. Okay, our goal is going to be to take back control of our lives. Because what we've discovered, what many of us have discovered, let's see, this thing's not working. There we go, now I got it. Okay. There we go, that's it. What I discovered is that there's many of us that can relate to Mark in that video clip, where many of our lives are out of our control, and it seems like the circumstances around us or the people around us are what determine what we end up doing, what our mood is, or what our feeling is, or whatever. And if that's happening to you, you may have at some point in time experienced what it feels like when your life seems to go faster than you can keep up with. I don't think I'm alone in this feeling. I think living in this area, being a young professional kind of age that you're in, many people can relate. It's a feeling of you want to be responsible and you want to do good. And you know who it especially applies to? Is if you want to be successful spiritually or at home or at work. The people who don't want to be successful, lazy people, no problem with boundaries. Or at least I say a different problem with boundaries. But this is for the people who want to be successful. And who want to be there for their family, who want to be there to be responsible at work, who want to grow spiritually and want to serve in the church and all that kind of different stuff. I discovered that there's many times where we're trying and trying and trying and trying, and it seems like, just like he said in the video, is perfect. Something isn't right. Okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ promised joy, there's no joy. He promised peace, there's no peace. What I always think of, like my kind of personal barometer, when I find myself getting to that point where I'm like a chicken without a head, I always look back to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think that I'm busy and I got a lot to do. Hey, he had to save the whole world. Okay, so he is a man who had a pretty long to-do list. And he had to grant salvation to every single person, carry all the sins of the world. But you never saw Christ like running around like a chicken without a head. You never saw him like pulling his hair out, stressed out, and I don't got time. And all. You never saw that. Okay? When he walked slowly. When he spoke, he listened to the person that he was speaking to. He wasn't rushing them off to the next appointment. So that tells me that if he's our model in life, that if I'm not at that point, then something's got to be wrong. Okay, there has to be something in my life. And that's why I said we're going to explore boundaries, because I think this is the answer for many of us. If you've ever felt like you're juggling all the different balls in life, the work ball, the family ball, the kids ball, the spouse ball, the single life ball, the social ball, the spiritual ball, the service ball, and you just keep on throwing them higher and higher because there's so many of them and you can't hold them all at the same time, boundaries is exactly what you need. If you've ever felt this, okay, the one thing that is clear from all of our experience in life, if you've ever felt that life is outside of your control, it is very clear that the problem for 99% of us is not effort. The problem is strategy. What I mean by that is you can't solve this problem by just trying harder. Trying harder, in fact, will get you more deeper and deeper in. Like quicksand. The more you struggle to try to get out, the more you end up sinking in. And that's what happens to many of us. We fall behind. We feel negligent at home, so we try harder at home. And we spend more time there, and then we get further behind in everything else. And then we try to be more faithful in the career, and then we get more behind in everything else. The problem is not effort. The problem is strategy. We don't need to try harder. We need to take a step back and evaluate our strategy and our game plan so we can fight smarter. Psalm 127, verse 2 says that in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Every time I read that verse, I just say, amen. I have experienced that one, and I hope that you can relate as well. I'm not saying that I hope that upon you, but I'm saying I would imagine that you could relate as well. Get up early in the morning, stay up late at night, all in vain. The more you try hard, the more, like I said, you just get further and further in to this out of balance life, or out of control life, or put another way, a boundaryless life. We need to figure out what boundaries are and how they apply. Let's talk about boundaries first in a physical sense before we talk about them in like a more intangible sense. In a very tangible sense, if I own a house, boundaries are what define where my property begins and where my property ends. I know that anything inside those property lines is my property and it's my responsibility, and I have to take care of it, and anything outside of that is outside of my responsibility and it doesn't belong to me. The same way we have physical boundaries, we need like mental boundaries, we need emotional boundaries, we need relational boundaries, we need career boundaries, we need education boundaries, we need spiritual boundaries as well. We need to be able to distinguish between what is my responsibility and what is not my responsibility. What belongs to me and I got to mow this lawn, and what's that guy's lawn, and if he doesn't mow it, that's his kind of situation. The guy in the video didn't do a good job of that. Okay, and we'll see a little bit later on how he ended up improving it. But he ended up doing stuff that was outside of what should have been his boundaries. This works on the positive side and on the negative side. What I mean by that is some of us have problems with boundaries that we take stuff and we're mowing the lawn outside of our own property. Some of us have the opposite problem, that we're letting our own property go to waste, okay, and we're saying it's someone else's responsibility. So it works on both kind of sides. I promise you, there's a lot more to this boundary stuff than you realized. I didn't realize how much there was to it, and I didn't realize how important it is until I really got into it, and I realized if you don't have a clear set of boundaries in every area of life, it is going to be really, really easy for the devil to knock you off. Easy. Like, you're just setting yourself up for a failure if you're not having clear boundaries in every aspect of your life. Because he can toy with you. Okay, he can really toy with you if you don't know what's yours and what's not yours. Okay? The guy in the video didn't have good boundaries. His marriage was being destroyed and he didn't even know it. His kids were being destroyed and he didn't know it. His career is on the border of being destroyed and he may know it or may not know it. His health was being destroyed and his spiritual life was being destroyed as well. So we need to see what these boundaries are. Let's come up with a definition of what boundaries are. Boundaries are what define our area of responsibility. Like I just said, boundaries define what belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me. What I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. Like I said, in a physical world, boundaries are easy to see. Fences are boundaries. Okay? Walls, gates, like, are boundaries. In the old school, you had a castle, you had a moat with alligators. That's a boundary. Saying, do not cross this because the alligators will eat you. We need the same kind of stuff in the emotional or spiritual or any kind of area of life. Something that kind of tells me, don't step across this. Do boundaries limit you in life? What you'll find is boundaries do the opposite. Boundaries give you more freedom. Why? Very simple. Because when I know what belongs to me, okay, if I know this stage, these are the boundaries, then the first thing is, okay, I know what I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for, so I can stop fretting about all those chairs. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just this. And then when I know that this is solely my responsibility and no one else's responsibility, then I can walk around as I like, I can sit where I want, I can put a plant here, I can hang a Christmas tree, I can do whatever I want, because I know it's my property, and I know in the end, I'm the only one who's responsible for it. And I will take, or I will make sure that it's guarded well. Imagine if I told you that you have a piece of property somewhere out there, and it's your job to guard it. And I didn't tell you what the boundaries were. What would happen to you in life? I told you somewhere in Fairfax you own some property, just so make sure you guard it, make sure nothing bad happens on it. It's your responsibility. I'm going to hold you accountable for it on the judgment day. I can't. Like, one of two options is going to happen there. First, I'm going to try to take care of everything and kill myself, or I'm going to take care of nothing and be a negligent person. That's what happens for many of us when we don't have a clearly defined set of boundaries in our life. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Bible gives us a definition of what our boundaries, what's inside our boundaries and how to define what we're responsible for. Put simply, anything that affects my heart is my responsibility. What does that mean? That means I must take ownership of anything that affects my heart. My thoughts are my responsibility. My feelings, we want to say, my feelings are out of my control. I can't help how I feel. No. You are commanded to keep your heart. And anything inside your heart is your responsibility. And it's your job to make sure that you have protection around your heart. That includes your feelings. I'm not saying you can change your feelings overnight. What I'm saying is if you have incorrect feelings or incorrect thoughts or incorrect desires or incorrect dreams or incorrect behavior, or incorrect whatever, it is your responsibility to take action. No one else is going to do it. God is not going to hold anyone else accountable for those things except you. Easy thing is to say, well, it's because of so-and-so. I have these thoughts because of so-and-so. Or I have these bad habits because of this circumstances, and you know how it is, Abuna, and just you know how it is. No, how it is. It's your responsibility. It's your lawn. If it's long, it's your responsibility. Anything that affects your heart is your responsibility, and you got to take ownership of it. Okay? What does that mean? Like, specifically, what is within my boundaries? I said already my thoughts, my desires, all those things about me. Okay, I can kind of take that. What else is within my boundaries? Is like other people in my boundaries? Like, am I responsible for other people? I kind of flashed the answer up there real quick. It's kind of a trick question. I want you to write this down and try to understand it. I am responsible to others, but not for others. Okay, this one is one that the one who wants to be the great Christian is going to struggle with this one. Okay, aren't I responsible for other people? No, you're responsible to others, not for others. What's the difference? Look at two verses from the Bible, chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 5. The first one says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? The second one, shortly thereafter, says, for each one shall bear his own load. They don't seem to match. They seem a bit contradictory. Carry other people's burdens, but make sure they carry their own load. In order to understand it, okay, the first verse right there, first of all, we know that they don't contradict, and they're completing each other because they're put so close. Like, they're not like different chapters of the Bible, different books of the Bible. They're only two verses apart, three verses apart from one another. So verse 5 actually completes verse 2. Verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens. What that means is that we do have a responsibility to one another. And when someone has burdens, someone has things that are too heavy for them, things that are just too big, and they can't have the resources, or they don't have the strength, or they don't have the motivation, then it is our responsibility as members of the body of Christ to help them carry those burdens. But verse 5 says that each one should carry his own load, saying that there's some things that each one ultimately is responsible for, and no one can carry it except himself. The key is to understanding the difference between one another's burdens and his own load. If you go back to the original Greek, the word burden is much different than the word load. Burden is the Greek word used for it is to imply excess burdens, okay? Or things that weigh you down. The image that's drawn here is like a big, heavy boulder. Okay, one that no human being could carry by themselves. So what it's saying is, when you see someone who has a boulder that's too big for them, and if I know that my sister or my brother has a boulder that's too big, a situation that's too big for them, and I have the ability to help, we all go pitch in. Now, load is a much different word. Load is used, the literal meaning of the word is cargo or daily toil. Okay? Like daily cargo, let's say. The image in my head is a knapsack. Okay? Or like a backpack. And what it's saying here is that there are everyday tasks that every one of us has to do, and no one can do that except you or whoever the person is that we're talking about. The problem in life happens when either one of two things. We treat our boulders as knapsacks and say, I don't need any help, I can do it by myself. That's a problem. Well, that will crush me underneath it. Or two, we do the opposite. We treat our knapsack as it's so heavy, I can't carry it by myself. Until someone helps me, nothing I can do about it. That's irresponsible and negligent. That's where we need to understand that there's certain things, one another's burdens, but each own load. Okay? We should never try to carry other people's loads. Carry our own load, and we have to be faithful in carrying it. But what we do help is with other people's burdens. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you. There's a couple biblical examples, okay? The best example that I can think of is the Good Samaritan. You all know the story of the Good Samaritan. Guy walking down the street, carrying his own load, okay? Carrying his own knapsack, taking responsibility for his stuff. Then all of a sudden, he runs into a man who has a big boulder on him, okay? He got beat up. He got robbed, and he was just basically left for dead. He can't get up himself, okay? He has a situation that he can't do anything about himself, what the Bible says, Luke chapter 10, verse 34. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the beaten-up man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Carrying his burden, okay? This man couldn't get up, he got him up. This man didn't have oil, he got him oil. This man couldn't pay for a night at the Holiday Inn, he paid for a night at the Holiday Inn. Verse 35, he even does more for him. Okay? When it says, on the next day when he departed, so he spent the night with him, on the next day he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. What happened? He helped him, helped him, helped him, helped him, helped him, helped him. And then he did what? And then he left. What would a boundaryless person have done in this situation? Okay, man. Here, I paid the guy, the clerk, 2 denarii. You should be good to go till I come back. And then the man would say, you're going to leave me. You're going to leave me. Who am I going to talk to? Who's going to clip the toenails when they get long? And who's going to listen to my stories? And okay, if you want to be selfish, that's fine. You know, I thought you were a Christian, but I guess, you know, whatever, that's fine. You know, that's fine. I'll just rot here to die. And if he was a boundaryless person, he'd have said, yeah, you know what? I can't be selfish. I'm a Christian. I got to be Christian. Got to be an ambassador of Christ. I can't leave. You know what? I'm going to stay here. Doing that would have been taking responsibility for the man, as opposed to just responsible to the man. Do you see the difference? What would happen if he didn't end up staying? It would have been inevitable. Unless he's like 0.0001% likelihood that he and this man end up becoming soulmates and became best friends and became friends for life. Unless that happened, what would have happened to this Good Samaritan guy? He'd have been bitter and he'd never helped another soul again. He'd have been bitter. Because he'd be staying here saying, I'm missing out on my business in Jericho. And my fiance is waiting there for me and this and that. And I'm supposed to be married right now and all this kind of stuff. And he'd be a bitter, bitter, bitter young man. He most likely wouldn't help anyone else. He most likely ended up turning on this guy and something like that. It'd be a disaster if he didn't have the proper set of boundaries. Do you see the difference between being responsible to another person and responsible for another person? The key is it removes the other person from the equation. Okay? Regardless of what the other person says, I love God, and God has given me responsibility to help other people. Whether they smile or they frown, whether they make me feel guilty or make me feel happy, it makes no difference. I'm not responsible for them. I'm not responsible for making sure they get on their feet and get a job. I'm responsible to them. Okay? That's between me and God kind of a thing. I'm responsible to do what I can. But in the end, he knew this man, and actually he was doing what was best for the man. He knew this man had to get back up on his own 2 feet and carry his own load and not go around depending on people to carry their load. Also reminds me of the story in John chapter 5. You know, John chapter 5 is when our Lord Jesus Christ went by that pool, okay, and the angel used to come and stir up the water every so often, and he found some poor, pathetic man who'd been there for 38 years. He said, look here, man, you don't want to be made well today? What'd the man say? Look here, John chapter 5, verse 7. Sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm coming, another steps down before me. He's saying, woe is me, and you know, I can't carry this little knapsack. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus didn't even listen to this kind of stuff. He said, get up, pick up your bed and walk. I always look at this and say, why didn't Christ, like, come on, be courteous, the poor guy's sick, pick up the bed for him. Like, why not pick up the bed and pick up his hand and give him? So here's your bed, and I cleaned it off for you. Jesus didn't do that. Why? He's lazy? Didn't want to bend down and pick it up? Pick up your own bed? No. You're teaching him a lesson. You want to be made well? Get up and be made well. I'll do my part, but you got to do your part. I'll help you with your burden. You can't solve the illness. I'll solve the illness. But you can certainly rise, pick up your bed, and flex your muscles a little bit right there. See what I'm saying? Sometimes I get scared that either, like I said, we're on one of the two extremes. We have boulders, and we're trying to carry ourselves, and we don't want to ask for help. That's wrong. And I get scared we're on the other extreme, too. That we have a little knapsack, that we just say, you know what? It's my circumstances. It's my parents' fault. It's Ed's fault, or Joe's fault, or Jill's fault, or what's-his-name's fault. And either one of them is going to get you in trouble. So we need to figure out how these boundary things work. You want to know how boundaries work? Okay, write this one down here. The goal of boundaries, common sense, is to let good stuff in and to keep bad stuff out. That's the goal of a boundary. Okay? So, to let good stuff come in and to let bad stuff go out or stay out if it's already out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. The Bible says this all over, okay, but it's just one example. Where St. Paul says, "Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." What I want you to get from that is, what St. Paul is telling St. Timothy right here is, make sure you have boundaries and push the bad stuff out. Get rid of youthful lusts. Make sure they don't jump over your boundary. But when you see peace, let peace in. When you see faith, let faith in. When you see love, let that in. But make sure that doesn't sneak in behind it the foolish and ignorant disputes. See what he's saying? He's saying we need to have, like, any country. You don't just walk into a country. You don't just land in Paraguay, okay, and just walk in. You're going to walk into Paraguay, there's going to be a guy there saying, "What's in your bag?" He's the customs guy. Saying, "What's the stuff that you're bringing in here?" And if you tell him, "I have diseases and I have all kinds of horrible things and I have machine guns and stuff like that," he's going to say, "No, thank you. Go back out the country. We don't want this in our country." But if you say, "I have medicine for poor people, I have money for you," okay, he will most certainly let you in, okay? That's the point. We need to have, like, custom stations. What's good, come in. Bad, stay out. And if there's bad stuff inside, maybe some of us need to do some INS service on the inside, okay? And go catch the illegal stuff, the immigrants that's inside, and throw those bad boys out. Because we got to keep it clean in here. So boundaries, okay, are not walls. Boundaries are not walls. Boundaries are fences and gates. Okay? Boundaries are fences and gates. Sorry. A wall, these are walls. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. That's not a boundary. Boundaries are fences that keep stuff out, but they also have gates that lets good in. Or, like I said, if the bad's already in, on the inside, that tosses those things outside. A lot of us, I'll be honest, don't understand boundaries. So what we do is, we just build walls. But you know the problem? If you built a wall and you have poison on the inside, what'd you just do to yourself? You just shot yourself in the foot. If I say, "No one is leaving this room ever, I'm going to lock all these doors," and then there's terrorists inside this room, there's diseases inside this room, what did I just do? Just killed myself. That's what some people do. Just build walls, and they end up killing themselves and shooting themselves in the foot. So we need fences that have doors that swing open and let the good in and let the bad out. Okay? The Bible never commands us. That's like a misunderstanding of boundaries. Okay? That we just live closed off and take care of yourself. Okay? And leave me alone. I have good boundaries. No, that's not good boundaries. The Bible never commands us to live in isolation. In fact, that's the exact opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are one body. And we are to live in community together. And we are to bear one another's burdens. And where's all that stuff? You know, Christ spoke about that they may be one as we are one. So, life is not about walls. Life is about boundaries. Okay? In any community, okay, the best way there's a community is that we live together in the same community. We help each other. But by the same token, we have clearly defined boundaries as to what's me and what's you. And, you know, we don't kind of step in each other's yards, you know, when it's not needed. That's the right way. You know, another good example of boundaries is God Himself. If you look at who God is, okay, God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will see that you have three very distinct and separate persons. Again, I use the word persons, meaning like, not person like me and you, okay? A person like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're separate, but they're united. Okay? They're in perfect union with one another, yet each one is distinct. Each has his own role, and each has his own responsibility. Like, the Holy Spirit wasn't asked to die on the cross. Okay? That's not his responsibility. But come Pentecost, Holy Spirit had to be ready to do his thing. Okay? That was his shining day. Okay? So each one has its own distinctness, like each of us has our own distinctness, But by the same token, we're in perfect unity and we're not walled off from one another. What would life look like, okay, if you didn't have good boundaries, if you had boundary problems? There is kind of four scenarios, and I'm not saying that everyone is in one of these buckets, okay? Sometimes there's mixing and matching, and some people are more extreme than others. But I think that as we kind of discuss it, you'll be able to see where you kind of fall. There's people who can't say no, and people who can't hear no. There's people who can't say yes, people who can't hear yes. The first category of people who, we'll start at the bottom there, of can't say yes, are what are called avoidance. Avoidance are people who can't say yes. In other words, they're always saying no. They can't say yes to the good. The standard, like this is like the stereotype here, is the person who for whatever reason, as a child or as an adolescent or whatever, got burned, got abused, got betrayed. Even then, it had to be as a child or as an adolescent. Last week, got burned. And because of that, they have a bad experience. What they tend to do is just build the walls higher and higher, shut the gate, no one's ever getting in here to burn me again. I've seen it many times. I've seen people even older than you guys. Bad relationship with her father, so therefore just kind of puts up these walls and never really gets close to anyone for the rest of her life. You know, has these walls against intimacy. Why? Because she was scarred as a child. Or it could be, by a mother. It could be by a friend. I went to a small group and I got betrayed when I was in seventh grade and so-and-so said, told Jim or told Kelly that Zach liked her or this and that, so therefore I can never trust Slater again, whatever. And for the rest of all eternity, don't talk to me about joining a small group. I can't open up after what happened to me. Or even if I join a small group, I'm just going to say yes and nod. And someone says, share your problems. Oh, my problem's not like your problems. I'll pray for your problems. That's the avoidant. If only the avoidant knew how great and how freeing and how like much is waiting for them when they learn how to crack a little gate and let the bad out. Let other people help them with their burdens that may be too heavy. And in addition to that, what they'll find is when you let some of the bad out, it creates some more space and some good can come in. Okay? But you'll never discover that until you open up and ask for help. These people, you may be sitting there, if you're one of these people, saying, what's the big deal? Who cares about other people's help? I can get by without it. Hey, these people also struggle to get help from God. These are the people that struggle the most when I say, you need to sit and repent. These are people that struggle the most. Because these people have a hard time, like, they don't want to examine and look and see and stuff like that. You just kind of keep the walls up and maintain the status quo. Second category is people who are the opposite of that, is compliance. People who can't say no. These are people who got no walls, all gates, all open all the time, like 7-Eleven. These are people who no matter what happens, because they have very fuzzy boundaries, okay? Very, very fuzzy, very indistinct. So they easily take on stuff and other people's stuff, and they just let it kind of accumulate, and they don't know what's theirs and what's not theirs. These people can be described kind of like chameleons. You know, a chameleon just melts into its environment. These people the same way. Okay? These people, everyone around them is working hard, work hard. Everyone around them is playing games at lunch, play games at lunch. Everyone around them says, let's go Chinese, Chinese it is. Okay? Even if I don't like Chinese, who cares? It's better than rocking the boat. Let's just kind of keep peace. Okay? And why and all this kind of stuff. You may not see a big deal with it, but I bet you it will become a big deal. Because if you can compromise that easy when it comes to all those things, it's just a matter of time before you compromise when it comes to sin. And in addition to that, you're never going to be what God wants you to be. Because like I said, our Lord Jesus Christ did a lot of good stuff, but he didn't save every soul. I mean, of course, you're getting salvation to everyone, but I'm saying, like, he didn't preach to every person, did he? He didn't heal every disease, did he? There had to be some blind people who weren't healed after that. So, he knew what his boundaries were. The compliant has no boundaries. You know what motivates a compliant person? It's not love for service. Or it's not like zeal for a career or family. It's fear. 9 times out of 10, it's fear. Fear or guilt. Fear of, well, if I say no, then I may be rejected. I may be lonely. Fear of rejection, fear of loneliness. You know what? Yalla. Just kind of give in. Okay. Just kind of keep the ball rolling. Keep the boat floating. You know a lot of people have fear of? I see this a lot of times. And of course, you know, like sometimes people doing good things for the wrong reasons is this. Okay? Fear of God punishing me. I have to go to church every single day. Have to pray every hour of the Igbeyah, or else God is going to destroy my life. Praying is good. Going to church is good. But if you're doing it out of fear, it's not good. Okay? Same thing with service. Same thing with anything. Sometimes we just kind of go with the flow out of fear of being unspiritual. Or fear that God will smite me down with a thing of lightning. The compliant and the avoidant seem like opposites. But a lot of times, you can be both. You can be both compliant and avoidant. What I mean by that is, I know people like this, who, if someone else needs them for 4 hours, will gladly say yes, can't say no. But if they need someone else for 5 minutes, can't ask. Can't get themselves to ask. Man, this is the worst of both worlds. Okay, if this is you. This is the worst of both worlds. Because not only are you taking on more than you should be taking on, but you are not willing to allow anyone to help you with even the small bit that you should be carrying yourself. This guy's got to flip himself around if he's both. The other side of things deals with more of our relationships with others. Okay? And the two there are controller and non-responsive. A controller person does not respect the boundaries of others. Okay? He cannot hear a no. The controller person never takes no for an answer. This is every waiter's worst nightmare. Okay? Or if you're in customer service or you're the help desk guy, this guy is your worst nightmare. Because this guy will never, ever let go of you until he has gotten what he wanted. And if the soup wasn't hot enough for him, boy, until it is scalding hot, this boy will not give you a tip. The non-responsive person can't hear, I'm sorry, the controller person can't hear a no. Why this is a boundary problem? Because what this person is doing is projecting their own load or their own responsibility on someone else. I have this problem and you're going to fix it. No, sir, I can't fix it. Yes, you can fix it. And I'm not going to let go of you until you fix it. And I'm going to, in your ear, until you fix it. This person isn't satisfied when others help them with the boulder. He wants you to carry your knapsack. And you know what? Carry my wife's knapsack as well. And carry my sister's knapsack as well. That's who the controller is. Non-responsive is the other side. Non-responsive is someone who can't hear a yes. What I mean by that is, this is someone who cannot see the needs of others. This person is usually self-absorbed, and they don't see, like I said there in the handout or on the thing, they don't see their responsibility to love others. See only themselves. Okay? They can't hear anyone calling out for help. They only see themselves and only hear themselves. And as much as you are helpful to them, that's good. You know what happens? Okay, controller and non-responsive, this cannot be the same person. But it can kind of be the same person. It'll never be one person. But you know what happens when a controller person meets a non-responsive person, if they're extremes? You know what happens? They usually get married. I'm not joking. I see this a lot. Because a non-responsive person, like a controlling person, always is looking to put stuff on other people. I'm sorry, I didn't mean non-responsive. I meant the avoidant. I didn't mean non-responsive. I meant the avoidant. A controller person, when he meets an avoidant person, that's who gets married. Because a controller person is someone who is always trying to, like I said, push it off on someone else. And what do they find in the avoidant person? Perfect match. Person who will take on everything. Person who will never say no. This is a perfect combination. Perfect to them. But of course, very, very unhealthy. Usually, it's also the opposite between the compliant and the non-responsive. There you have a person who can't say no, okay? Who can't ever, like, who's always being driven, like I said, by guilt and by this kind of stuff. So when the non-responsive person doesn't care about him, or doesn't ask about him, or doesn't give him 2 cents of attention, the compliant person says, you know, I should say something, but you know, I don't know, and guilty, and all that kind of stuff, and what if, and judges, and all that kind of stuff. Because they're controlled by fear. The bottom line is, while like I said, they may match like that, the controller, the avoidant, the non-responsive, the compliant, and they may see it as a perfect match, but man, it is far from a perfect match. It is a time bomb that is just waiting to explode. And I want you to see that regardless of where you are in here, I painted a picture of 4 extreme people. I don't think anyone here, at least I hope not, is at any of those extremes. But maybe we're just slightly skewed to the right, okay? Or to the top, or to the bottom, or to the left, or whatever it may be. I want you to know that God wants you to be healthy, and God wants you to be balanced. And whether you believe it or don't believe it, you can be balanced. Because boundaries is not like, it's not something that is just some people understand and some people have and some people don't. It's a learned behavior. In the same way, over the past how many years, you have pushed yourself all the way over here, you can slowly start to put yourself back. And that's what this series is all about. Today was just kind of like an introduction. Next week is we're going to see how boundaries develop and how we can be proactive in developing the right set of boundaries. We'll see kind of where our existing boundaries came from and what brought them, and then we'll see what we can do about that. The verse that I want you to keep in mind is Proverbs 4:23, is that what God says is to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In case you don't believe that your life can ever be back under control, I'll give you a little piece of encouragement. Watch our good friend Mark right here in a much shorter video clip and see what happens to him. Is after attending the series of boundaries, what happened to our friend Mark? Maybe. Well, you can imagine what it would look like if he was there.
You know, I really need you to tell me to say no to anyone. Oh, okay. So that's a good idea. So you
this
want
is still
me
the first
to say
video
no
clip. It's okay, a little technical
to anyone anytime they come.
Don't
to
listen
me
for
to
about another
for
30 seconds.
Just say no to everybody.
That's not what boundaries is about. You need to set boundaries with me. You need to set boundaries with the kids. You need it with work. You need it with church service. Boundaries is not saying no to everything. It's just setting limits. So that way you can actually start doing things that you can enjoy. So you can balance your life.
Okay, if you think it'll happen.
You know, actually, I think Light and Life this week, that's what they're talking about. And I really think you need to go. I think you need to make some changes in your life. You don't have time to work out. You don't have time to do anything.
If you think it'll help out, okay? Can I just focus on this, please?
Okay, that's fine. But really, you should go.
Wow, Mark, that was just a great presentation. Thanks for getting here early, by the way.
I'll tell you, it's so much easier to get here early now that I'm getting to bed earlier and that I've been able to kind of set some boundaries in my life. It's just helped a lot.
Well, that's great. You know, there's just a couple of changes that I saw. I mean, just a few minor edits. Would you mind working on them this weekend so they're ready by Monday?
Well, you know, I'll take them, but let me be honest with you. I told you before, this weekend's bad for me. It's my daughter's birthday, and in all honesty, I mean, I gave you this presentation 3.5 weeks ago and told you that I would not be able to work this particular weekend, so if you need the changes that badly, you may need to give them to someone else. So should I hand it back to you?
Well, no, I want you on the project because you know it's the best, and you're my most dependable employee. You know, to be fair, you did tell me that this weekend was bad for you. All right, I will make a couple of edits that I see, and if I have any questions for you, I'll send you an email. And can we meet maybe a little earlier on Monday morning before the meeting with the client?
Sure, Monday morning's fine, but just so we're clear, if you send me an email this weekend, I may not look at it until Monday morning. So I want you to have your expectations set. Is that fair?
That's fair. You told me beforehand. I appreciate your hard work, Mark. I'll see you Monday morning.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Hey, Mark, man, you got a minute?
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
I've got this huge crisis, man, and you're like my only friend around here I can really talk to about this. You've been sticking in your tongue, you don't mind.
Well, you know, I understand you're going through a crisis, but I don't know how talking about it right now is going to change anything immediately. And also, to be honest, I had some things that I really needed to get done at work.
Listen, man, you know, I'm trying to be there for you whenever you need me, so I'm just kind of hoping you can just give me a minute.
I respect that, but, I mean, if you had things to do and I needed to speak with you, I'd respect your schedule, and I'm hoping that you can respect what I'm asking you to do. How about this? Let's have lunch Monday, and then we could talk for as long as you like.
Yeah, I guess that sounds great, man.
Does that work,
too? Yeah. Thank you. All right. So, but, you know.
All right.
By the way, did you lose weight?
I did. I actually started making some changes in my life, and now I sleep better, I don't get to work late anymore, and I thought, you know, it's all about boundaries. After I set some boundaries.
Boundaries, huh? Well, you'll have to tell me about that next week, too.
I will. All right. Take
good
care.
Weekend, man. I'll see you.
All right. Take care.
Later.
Bye.
You know, we really do have great kids. They actually went to bed when they were supposed to. They're doing really well. So it's great that you set these limits with them. They're doing a great job.
Well, I mean, you do a great job with them every day. It's definitely a team effort. I can't take all the credit, but thanks for saying that. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, I'm looking forward to our date tomorrow night.
Me too. I'm really excited. All right. You can get that if you want to.
No. It's okay. It can't be that important. Plus, we're in the middle of a conversation.
Well, hopefully the machine will pick up then.
Yeah, it should.
Hey, Mark and Caroline. It's Mia Boone Anthony. I'm sorry to be disturbing you guys. I just wanted to leave you a quick message. I need your help with something, Mark. Whenever you get a chance, if you give me a call, it's regarding the men's conference that's coming up soon. We're in a bit of a jam. And I wanted to see if you could help out a little. I know you're really busy and all, but if you get a chance to give me a call back, I'd appreciate it. But don't worry, if it's something that's too much for you, I can make a few more phone calls, see if I can find someone else. But give me a call back whenever you're free. All right.
That's my least favorite point.
You know what? Maybe you should help him out with that. He works so hard for the service, and I'm sure he needs your help right now. And I understand. I completely understand.
You know, I have to be honest. If I agree to help Abuna Anthony out with that, then that means I'm going to miss our date tomorrow. I won't be able to spend time with the kids this weekend. And in all honesty, it's important for us to spend time together. It's important for me to spend time with the kids. And I really enjoy it. And service is great for the church. I mean, it's very, very important. But even with church service, there has to be boundaries. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. I'm really glad you ended up going. I can see that it helped a lot.
Yeah. No. Okay, so we were thinking about
movies. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to look at movies for tomorrow.
Right.
So I hear Shrek 3 is really
that
good.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So after dinner, we can go check.
Okay. That'll be good.
Now, the one part of that video that I hope you enjoyed it, but if I start getting answering machines when I start calling you guys, all right, let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you because you have come to give us life and come to give it more abundantly. We thank you, dear Lord, that you did not create us to be always running around crazy and having no control over our life, but you created us to be balanced and healthy. I pray, dear Lord, that through this series and through our time here together, that you can reveal to us which areas we are unhealthy in and restore us, dear Lord, to a healthy form of life. Lord, we know that you don't create us to do more than you give us time to do. So please help us to make some serious decisions and some serious, like, cut some things out that don't need to be in our life and to have these healthy boundaries. Pray for every single person who's gathered here today, especially those whose lives are out of control, that you would help them to regain full control. Help us to keep our heart with all diligence, knowing that out of it spring the issues of life. Pray for our church, for our Father Bunab Shoy, to Sonia Irini, and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.